Now, Anthony doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to draw on him here in a little while. So I'm just going to give him a moment or two to know that. He's going, thanks. Hallelujah. Because, I mean, you never know who you're sitting next to, you know. You come in, and like I say, Anthony and I go back many years. Hallelujah. I do want to exhort you just a few more moments, and I know there's going to be more coming about this. Going back to this morning's message and that vision that I saw last night of the United States, and the one where you've probably seen it, where they're showing the electrical use at night around the world, and the contrast is between the United States and all of those lights that are on compared to, like, South Africa, certain, or it's not just South Africa, but parts of Africa and other places where there's very little. Now, they're talking about electrical usage, but the Lord is talking to us about, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And what I didn't get to this morning, and there's going to be more coming to it, see, if we'd have had that same snapshot from a satellite that could only see the life of Christ, or let's say the light of life, if you'd taken that snapshot before Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, how many dots of light would there be on planet Earth? Zero. Then once he's conceived, how many? One for 30 some odd years. Yet when he was baptized, after he was baptized in the River Jordan by John, and then the Holy Spirit come upon him, right after that is when he started preaching his message. Repent, believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. All right, now let's stop for a moment. What does that mean? Kingdom of God is at hand. Anything that is at hand, it's available to you right now. It's within your reach. See, if we go to Cracker Barrel and they set biscuits down within my reach, those biscuits are at hand. Okay. and that's what Jesus is saying. Everything in the kingdom is served. It's on the table. It's at hand. Now, the question is why? Because there was one dot of light on planet Earth. See, Jesus is our pattern for everything. He didn't do anything as God, even though he is God. He did everything as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. And in John 8:12, he says, the light, those that follow me, they're not going to walk in darkness. Why? They are going to have the light of life. So, first there was one dot. Jesus was the only one. Then after his resurrection, there were more dots and more lights and more lights and more lights. And now 2,000 years later, there's a lot of lights. But there's a lot of lights, but through most of them, the kingdom of God is not at hand. And why is that? It's called false doctrine. It's called unbelief. Because that's not the gospel that Jesus preached. Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do the same things. The same works that I did, you're going to do them. But we have not believed the gospel that he brought to us. But he's in the process of changing that. So, somebody asked me a question within the last month. They wrote it out and sent it in. What does that really mean when we pray, thy kingdom come? Father, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth. Well, see, the thing you got to, God has not changed. Did you ever know that God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament? I was just listening to Pastor Dave again this morning because he was on my phone when I turned it on. And he was talking about God's immutability as one of his attributes. And God cannot change and neither can he be changed. So he was the same then that he is now. Well, let me ask you, did Jesus do anything that was not the will of the Father? Obviously not. So when he come to, like, the woman that was bowed over for, what, 18 years? He looks at that and he goes, that's not the will of the Father. Now, that woman's been bowed over for 18 years. She was a believer that, well, she had a covenant of healing that whole time. The Jews had a covenant of healing. So if God doesn't change, and if it's God that's doing the works through Jesus, he said it's the Father in me doing the works, God doesn't change. Did he want to heal that woman before Jesus arrived on the scene? Yeah, he did. Why didn't he? Or it's not really why didn't he, it's why couldn't he? See, people talk about the sovereignty of God, but they get it all mixed up. They say, well, God just sovereignly chooses who he's going to heal and who he's not going to heal, you know, or when he's going to heal and that type of thing. Well, I will agree with you, God is sovereign. And he sovereignly chose at the beginning of creation for man to have authority on this earth. And he had to wait until there was a man that not only had that had authority, but had the light of life on the inside of him. And because of that life and the life of the Father inside of him, whenever he showed up, the kingdom of God was at hand. It's available. You can have it if you can believe it. And he wouldn't even assume what people wanted. I remember the blind ones coming to him, and he didn't assume that they wanted sight. He said, what would you have me do for you? Well, we want to see. Okay, you can have that. Now, what he's trying to get across to us because of the coming revival, he really means it when he says, you are the light of the world. The same light of life that I had in me, you now have in you. That's what Paul was talking about. Let's do it one more time, then I'm going to turn it over to Anthony for a little bit. Put your hand on your heart. Say, Christ lives in me by faith. The anointed one lives in me by faith. My work is to believe on him that God has sent into my heart by faith. The works that he did, I do also. Because it's the anointed one that's in me. The Father in me, he does the works. When I show up in the name of Jesus, the kingdom of God is at hand. No less than when Jesus walked in. Because when I walk in, he walks in. Because Christ lives in my heart by faith. And I believe on him. That is my work. To believe on him that God has sent into my heart by faith. I am the light of the world. Jesus, who cannot lie, said to me, personally, in the book, you are the light of the world. Hallelujah. Now that's revival. That's revival. That's the truth. It's not going to change. The sooner we jump in that river and swim, the sooner people are going to be seeing the works again. Amen. I would like for Anthony Boney, my good friend, to come up and share a little bit. We brought you a hot mic, my brother. And hallelujah. Now you can preach, cast out devils, whatever the Lord leads you to do.
Amen.
And about 7:45 or so, we'll start the confessions. Okay. But if miracles break out, continue. Okay.
Amen.
Because we've been confessing for the miracles.
Amen.
Okay. So,
yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, the first thing God put in my heart this afternoon was this song was on me last night when I was driving here. So, first thing I like to do right now is play this song, and then begin to share some words that are on my heart. Is that okay? Amen. So, I'm gonna use the mic for the maybe the, I guess since it's all the speakers should be able to hear it. It's a song called "The Fall." You've heard that song before? Okay, you're gonna hear it right now. Then, amen.
My eyes above what it looks like. I will only see all you promised me. My eyes above what it looks like. My eyes above what it looks like. I want what you want. I want kingdom come.
Oh,
you want kingdom come.
manifesting His Spirit, His glory from His children.
My eyes above what it looks like. My eyes above what it looks like. I will only see it.
Only see.
All you promised me.
You have promised me.
My eyes above what it looks like. My eyes above what it looks like. I want what you want. I want kingdom come. Let the weight of heaven. Let the weight of heaven fall.
Holy Spirit is here. Allow the power of Holy Spirit as you worship my Spirit to manifest in me.
Have you
that the light that has to be able to talk about that light to manifest to this world. God can say to the believers, show him the Father.
Have you way, have you way. My
faith beyond what it feels like.
My faith beyond what it feels like. All the way to you.
All the way to breakthrough. Breakthrough.
My faith beyond what it feels like.
My faith beyond what it feels like. Holy Spirit, right now, through your children, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the glory of the Father, as it was in Jesus Christ, in Him, the children of God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. That was something to prepare your soul to receive. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. It's a privilege to be here with family. And I thank the Lord Jesus Christ and Pastor Gary for this opportunity. Right now I'm living in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We've been there for about 7 years. And so we've seen a lot of good things, and we've experienced a lot of trials and tribulations there in Kenosha. And we just believe in God for healing in this city and a coming together of the body of Christ. And it's been a trying time there, but God is faithful. And so, many times situations will arise that will cause you to want to just give up and throw in the towel. But Christ Jesus suffered too much to give us victory for us just to throw in the towel. And so I'm always encouraged by, I do believe it's, is it 2 Corinthians 11? When Paul was in perils of his countrymen, in perils of the brethren, in perils in the sea. But as we learned again, through the apostle of faith, that supernatural grace rose on every occasion. No matter what Satan did to try to wipe Paul off the face of the earth, supernatural grace arose in every situation to give him victory. And God has no respect to our persons. And if he did that for Paul, he does that for us, because the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same grace is available for every believer. Whatever you're going through, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. And supernatural grace will continue to rise in every situation to bring deliverance, because God is faithful. We have our church there. We've gone from about maybe 50 people down to about maybe 5 or 6 right now, because most of our church, drug addicts, alcoholics. And so our church is mostly filled with people that we went out to the streets and compelled them to come in. Amen. And so we taught a lot of on offenses. So I felt like, Lord, do I know how to teach anything other than what I learned from Pastor Gary and Pastor Dave? Do I have any other messages in my heart? we've taught tremendously on Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 46. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Because the wise man dug deep. He dug deep. Because what is it? Psalms 1 that, you meditate the word of God day and night, meaning that your spirit man will meditate when you're sleeping what your soul has been processing over during the day. So you can meditate day and night because your spirit man never sleeps, and he's forever solving problems. And it's best for us when we're quiet, we can hear the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, speak to us. I remember once in college, I was writing a program, and it was 1984, and I was writing a software program, and I was a little cocky in that time because I was learning how to write software and becoming pretty good at it. And we had to factor a polynomial, and I ran into a problem, a bug, and I could not solve the problem. If I had started maybe 2 weeks earlier, maybe I would have gotten it done, but I started a few nights before the program was done. I ended up being in the lab 3 or 4 days with no sleep, or sleeping at the computer, as many of us did in those days. And I just finally gave up and just repented to the Lord. And I said, Lord, forgive me for being a sluggard on this. And I was tired, went to my dorm room, went to sleep. And then, do you know, that night when I went home, when I went to my dorm to go to sleep, that black computer screen with that ugly flashing green light, I hate that green light. Those are the days, when the Mac computer was that little box, first computer that Mac had come out. And I saw that little green light begin to go across the screen, and it gave me the solution to my mathematical problem on the screen in my dream. And I bounced up. How do you wake up out of a dream? Well, my soul, my spirit man was solving what my soul had come to a dead end on. Because it is in the spirit where we receive from the Holy Ghost, amen? So when my soul finally got quiet, my spirit man was able to receive and dump over to my mind what it had been working on to process. And I bounced up out of my sleep, ran to the computer lab and put it in, and of course, it worked. Because that came from the Father. Hallelujah. And so point taken, there was Don't be a sluggard and get started on your projects early. Amen? Hallelujah. But stay quiet before the Lord. So what was my point? The wise man digs deep so that when the storms of life arise, the winds blow and the waters rise, the wise man's house will not be destroyed because it is founded upon the sayings, the rock of the sayings of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so the unwise man did not dig deep. He heard but did not perform. He was a hearer but not a doer. And the wise man and the unwise man went through the same storm, but one was spared and one was not, because the unwise man built his life on hearing and not doing. Pastor Gary just said that earlier today, you know, it doesn't matter what you're hearing. You have the information, but what have you done with it? We go to church, we're forever hearing stories. We're forever hearing the parables in the Bible. But what are we doing with it? What are we doing about it? Amen. So, of course, we all know that by now at the end of the chapter, we go back up to verse 27. It says, love your enemies. Do good to those who spitefully use you or misuse you. If someone smites you on one cheek, give them the other one also. If someone steals your shirt, give them your coat. And if someone sues you for your goods, don't ask them for them back. And then in the final analysis, you know, when it says, give it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Well, then God gives you back all the grace and mercy through other people, what you did, the mercy and grace that you gave to the sinner. And that was proved for me when I was in Bible college. I went to go internship in Alabama, and the pastor at that time put a teenager with me in my apartment. And one day I came home, and this cat had stolen my stuff. So my uncle had given me a pair of Tommy Hilfiger sneakers. They were $150 sneakers. Boney's not going to pay that much for a pair of sneakers. But my uncle gave me those shoes for a gift, so he stole those shoes. He took the money out of the drawer. And then he took some of my clothes. Well, I caught he and his friend coming in the next day evening, because my wonderful nosy neighbor had a crush on me, so she was always watching my door. Sweet lady, but she watched my door like a hawk. She said, Anthony, she said, Jacob stole all your stuff, and so now he's going to bring his friend back and get the rest of your stuff this evening because he told his friend that was his apartment, you were staying with him. I'm like, is that right? Okay. So that's after. So I called my boss and stayed in her apartment that day when she went to work. And I took two neckties and I hung them through my belt loop. I'll tell you why in a minute. So then that evening when that afternoon, about 4 o'clock, they came in. I waited all day long now from 7 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm having to sit in her apartment all day long just so I wouldn't miss them. Mad by now. So they come into the apartment and they're starting. I give them time to get nice and comfortable. She's not walking behind my clothes. I'm like, hello, gentlemen. Click. The door's locked. How about sit on the bed? Because if you try to leave, I'm going to tie you up. Sit down. So they sit down. Well, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to punk these two teenagers because I don't want them to beat me up. Maybe they think I'm angry. They won't try to fight me in there. So they sit on the bed. And then I preach to them Luke chapter 6. And then I take my stuff back. We go to their car, and I take all my stuff back. I don't put them in jail, and then they leave. Then the Holy Spirit said, hypocrite, how are you going to teach them Luke chapter 6 and then take all the stuff back? Scooby-Doo? I said, okay. I said, well, Lord, I said, I can't do it today because if I do, I'm doing it begrudgingly. Help me to want to, so I can get my rewards from you and I'll give it back. That's what I said. 3 days later, I am miserable. I'm just frustrated as I can be. So I call them up and they come back over and I give them all the stuff back. So they stole a small TV. They had a little VCR in there. And so I gave them the TV back. I didn't have another TV to give them, so I gave them that back. Then I gave him the $150 sneakers back, plus another pair of shoes. I gave him the sweater back, plus another sweater. I gave him the suit back, and I didn't have another suit to give him, so he took that. So then I gave him the money back that he took out of the drawer. And so then they leave. 9 months. Now, I thought it was amazing how it was 9 months later that this began to happen, because 9 months later is about the time that, you know, you give birth to something. Amen. So during this time, someone hears the testimony and they give me $200 for this $50 TV. I go to North Carolina to visit my family. My grandmother doesn't know why it happened. I went to a group in a Baptist church. So I'm getting ready to go to church with her, but I'm wearing a sport coat and slacks. Now, she wasn't prejudiced, but this is how grandmother said it to me, because her best friend was white back home. She said, "Boy, since you've been to Bible college around all those white people, you come home wearing this mismatched nothing." She said, she reaches into her bra and she pulls out some money, as old people would do. She says, "Go buy you some suits." She bought me two suits, not knowing that I had one stolen and I gave it back. Because, you know, you wore a suit to the Baptist church. You didn't wear slacks. I said, "Grandma," I said, "white people are free. They understand liberty. They're not bound by tradition and neckties and stuff." But then what did I do? I was an obedient grandson. I went and bought two suits. Then I go visit my family in Greensboro, North Carolina. And my cousin, you know, my family calls me Tony Boney. My last name is Boney, so my family calls me Tony. She says, "Tony Boney, Kohl's had a sale, and I know you love sweaters. I bought you three sweaters with the matching toboggan, matching hat. I gave away two, got three back with the matching hat." I go back to Alabama, finish my internship. I come back to North Carolina. I'm teaching at a rehab center. And there's a teacher in there who was a teacher from the rehab center, from a junior high school, mathematics. He says, "Brother Anthony," I'm back to Anthony now. He says, "Since I've been here, there's nothing I can do for you." He says, "But I called my wife and asked her if I could bring you a gift because of how good you've been to me." And every time I've told this testimony, I've cried, but I feel like I'm about to break down now, but I got my composure right now. But those sneakers, his wife brought me a gift, and it was the same pair of Tommy Hilfiger sneakers that I gave to that teenager. The very same pair of sneakers. Out of all the sneakers in the world, he had Tommy Hilfiger sneakers for me. I thought they were ugly sneakers, but the teenagers loved them, so I rocked them. I didn't want to buy those ugly shoes, but they were a gift. And I used to wear my pants with the slit on the side and the holes in the jeans, because I was a youth pastor in Alabama. So they loved that, so I rocked those shoes. And then I went to the Salvation Army to get clothes for the addicts. And then they gave me a brand new pair of Nikes. So pressed down, shaking together, running over, people gave back into me the mercy and grace I gave to the sinner. Hallelujah. But the pastor I was interning under told me I was a fool to give this guy back the stuff. I should have called the police. And I'm thinking, I'm glad my internship is almost up under you, because if that's how you feel, I don't want to learn anything else from you. Because how do you know the word of God works until you apply it and do it? To it, you have to be willing to become as a fool. Paul said, "I speak as a fool," right? Didn't he not? Paul became all things to all men, so that was the lesson I learned there. Just by applying the word of God, it works. So we've talked a lot about offenses, and so because a lot of the people in our church, you know, they know each other from the street, and so offenses began to arise. Offenses began to rise because people could only see themselves. They couldn't see the fellow man above themselves. All they could see were themselves and their hurt and their pain. And so, you know, we begin to teach again, you know, from 2 Corinthians 10, you know, 3 through 5, you know, our weapons aren't carnal, but the mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds. Again, as we learned from Apostle Roberson, you know, the strongholds, a system of thoughts, the, you know, being imprisoned in your own thoughts and the way you think, being captive in a prison without walls. And I remember, you know, Rick Renner talking about how, you know, when you break this down in the Greek there, to take a thought captive is the same ideology of a Roman soldier taking a spear and putting it in the back of the enemy and telling the enemy, "Either you retreat or leave, or I run you through." That's the concept of taking a thought captive, is taking it captive, prisoner, and forcing it to leave without resistance, or you kill it, or it dies. Well, either way, it's going, right? Amen? So taking captive every thought and making it become obedient to Christ. What did Pastor Gary talk about earlier about the armor of God and the helmet of salvation? It protects your mind. The Word of God, you know, renewing your mind. Pastor Dave said again, you know, well, just because you get born again doesn't mean you automatically know everything. So you have to renew your mind through the Word of God. Your spirit man becomes born again, but your mind has to be renewed, that soul. Then what do? We go to Luke 18. You know, Jesus said that we should always pray, not faint or give up. There was in a certain city an unjust judge and a widow. And the widow kept saying to the unjust judge, avenge me of my adversary. And avenge means to take authority or action in an illegal court system. Well, you know, Satan operates in spiritual laws. He's always condemning us. Amen. So, but what are you speaking? What are you thinking? Legally, he can hold us bound by what we say and what we think. If you're thinking, because as you think, is more than likely how you're going to act or perform. So who are you, and where did you come from, and why are you here? Remember, Miles Monroe said that the graveyard is the most richest place on the earth because it's full of people who took God's gifts to the grave. It's not the diamond mines or the gold mines. The graveyard is the richest place on the earth. Books never written, songs never sung, dreams unfulfilled, untapped capabilities inside of a person that died and went to the grave. Children who were aborted that may have already had the cure to cancer. Or an invention that went to the grave that was never going to manifest itself in the earth because people took those gifts to the grave. Maybe you were raped or molested and you're locked up within yourself. Remember Brother David Hogan on one occasion said this lady kept showing up to his meetings and he kept casting the devil out of her. And he kept wondering, why is this happening? And the final time when he was about to lay hands, he said, why do you keep coming back to these meetings and you're still possessed? And then revelation came that she was raped by someone. And she said, then the thing manifested, I will never forgive them for what they did to me. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a poison you drink and then you stand and you wait for the other person to die. Isn't that something? I wish that was original. We'll begin back to Luke 18 in just a moment. But unforgiveness is a poison we drink. And you look at the other person, you're expecting them to die. Hallelujah. So now we're back to, again, you know, so avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. So the widow is your spirit, man. And the unjust judge is the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Because your soul is going to make a decision. You've been praying, you've been praying, you've been praying, you get no answers from God. So, Lord, I've been praying, and if I don't get an answer from you, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. And it is so bad to move if it's outside the will of God. It's best to sit still until we receive correct instruction. So the widow is telling the soul, baby, get up and dust yourself off and get into the Word of God. Renew your mind. Renew yourself. Pray. Meditate. Fast. Do all the things you can in it, because first the natural, then the spiritual. Because I need to fast physically to get the spiritual significance of what it does for me. Amen. I have to first do something in the natural for what I need from the spirit to be able to manifest in that respect. Because as we're fasting, we're killing the flesh and pushing that operation below the operation of the Spirit. Amen? And then praying in those tongues that the Holy Spirit is praying for us, God's perfect will for our lives. And as we've learned again, that tongues doesn't do what fasting does, and fasting doesn't do what tongues does. Amen? So we learn to worship and pray and fast and do all the things that a believer should do to walk in victory. So casting down those imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and taking captive every thought. Because we have learned, and scientists have learned now, that the thoughts control the brain and not vice versa. And by learning how to meditate the Word of God and train your thoughts, the thoughts can actually cause, because the brain is malleable, and those crevices in the brain can change and be altered. The thoughts control the brain, not vice versa. Because you know how it is if Now, this is not condemnation to anybody. This is not condemnation. This is just an example. Amen? So many of us maybe wake up in the morning and we have to have that coffee. Or we have to have that cigarette kind of a thing, you know? So it's not condemnation. But, you know, it's a pattern. And some people, if they don't have the coffee, they may get a caffeine headache. Amen? Because it's something that the body's accustomed to. But then there are other things in our lives where, because of maybe you, if you were once an addict or something you're having to be delivered from, but now when I was not a Christian and then a situation would happen, this is how I would react or this is how I would handle it. And some of the guys in the rehab would say, well, first of all, if I would get worried about something, I would have to have a cigarette. And then the cigarette went back to the crack. But then if I was going to have the cigarette in the crack, I had to have me a woman with me too. And it was a pattern. A pattern. So if they got depressed or got sad or anxious about something, didn't have to have the cigarette. Didn't have to have I want the crack, but I want to smoke it by myself, so now I'm going to go get my girl, blah, 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 blah. Or they might go get the alcohol. A pattern. So now it's a matter of now retraining your brain. Well, I used to do that in the world, but now that I'm in Christ Jesus, I'm going to cast down these thoughts, and then I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 8. So, I'm not going to be anxious about anything, but pray about all things. And then prayer supplications, and then I'm going to be thankful to the Lord. That after I prayed and thanked the Lord for these things, I'm going to be thankful about it, magnify him and worship him. And then, based on that formula, then after I've done that, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. I'm retraining my mind of how I'm going to react to situations and circumstances. Because by doing this, I retrain my brain, and then I don't go back into those old patterns and now walk in the newness of life that I was created to be. This is the message that we're teaching. And then Satan has tried to come in to tear people's lives to pieces. Offenses begin to rise, and people are fighting and arguing with one another. Well, Pastor, I didn't come to church Sunday because so-and-so was there. I'm not coming back anymore. I had a phone call that a brother was contemplating suicide, and we have helped this gentleman so much. But guess what? He didn't call us. He called one of his friends that he smokes marijuana with. So he called somebody on the same level as himself, in the same hole as himself, to pray with him to try and get deliverance. Whenever time they get into a situation of trouble, they fall back on alcohol or the marijuana, trying to find peace. You know, beloved, you don't get your peace from a tree branch or from a leaf. You get it from the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross and then he rose from the dead, but guess what? That wasn't the finalization. Christ rose from the dead, made a show of the kingdom of darkness openly. But when he rose from the dead, then guess what? He sent us the comforter. Because I had learned that when Jesus says, I will send you another comforter. Well, the word another in the Greek means the same but different. Huh? The same but different. And I learned that Jesus was the comforter while he was here on the earth. But then he sent another, the same but different. Now this comforter is not in the flesh. He's spirit. And he's everywhere at one time. And this comforter is with all of us at the same time, if we will learn how to submit and surrender our lives to him. And so, beloved, you know, this is what we're teaching to our people to help them understand, you know, the life that you live in the street, you have to, you know, you're coming to the kingdom now, and you have, you know, you don't fight fire with fire, they used to say. You have to learn how to war differently now, and you war with the Word of God. And I have learned so much from this ministry, and it is so true. Although we can read in Corinthians, you know, the nine gifts of the Spirit and the eight operations of God. Then Paul came back in 1 Corinthians 13 and said, but yet I show you a more excellent way. It's not about the gifts and the operations of God. It's about him. It's about him only. Because when we get him, all those things come in with him. Let's focus on the giver and not the gifts. Let's love him for who he is. And then let him have his way in us the way he wants to. And that's what I have learned through this ministry. And that's why I know without the shadow of a doubt that the calling of the lost is one of the most powerful tools in this city, on this planet. Because God said, let there be light. And from the beginning of time, light still be. Let there be a separation from the waters and the earth, and that still be. Now, mind you, I understand I'm using incorrect English. Amen? But God said that, and then he made man in his image and his likeness. Adam lost the likeness, but then Jesus gave us that likeness back. Amen? Hallelujah. So now the words you're speaking, and Pastor Gary just said again this afternoon that, you know, as the Father had life within himself, he gave to the Son to have life within himself, and that same life of the Father is in us. And so as you speak and you're calling in the lost, the enemy has already been defeated, and the kingdom of darkness is going to bow. Have faith and do not doubt, and you shall receive. Amen. And now as an obedient servant, it is 7:45, and I'm going to stop. Hallelujah. Amen.
That was superb. That was absolutely superb. It's wonderful. Isn't that when he told me a story this afternoon that I'll tell quickly. He said he has a bus ministry, and they would pick up these street kids. You know, they're broken parents. I mean, you know, come from broken homes and drug addict parents and things. And the kids look forward to coming. So I think he told me the bus was legal for 14, and he'd often have like 21 on there. Because he'd go to pick up the kids, and, well, they got friends, you know, and said, well, I want my friends, so, well, let me call your mama. And he called the mama and said, you know, and they said, oh, you're Pastor Boney, I think they said. Yeah, we've heard of you. Okay, it's okay for my son to go with you. But don't let him go home with Fred. that boy Fred, they're going to get in trouble now. You make sure you don't go home with Fred, okay? But I love that, you know. It's wonderful to... You know, what chance do those kids have without the Word of God? And thank God for somebody that'll love them enough, go pick them up at their own expense. Thank God for... Now, see, I got to quit. I'm going to start crying myself now.